brave enough to come out in the cold. So those from Area 1, could they just put up their hand? Area 1. What? It's too late to allow. You're not in either 1 or 2. Oh.
Can I help, George?
Yes.
Windlocked Ocean View is 1. And then the remainder from beyond Ocean View out to Versus Cove. You're welcome.
So could I try that again? Like Area 1? Okay. Anybody from Area 2? And if you're not in Area 1 or 2, are you here? Welcome, Al. Good to have you here. And could we introduce the head table here?
Let's go. Stephen.
Stephen Ash, Councillor District 11.
Norman Adams, Area 2.
Glenn Kerrigan, Area 1.
Kevin Herrick, Royal Nova Scotia Yachts Club.
Andy Morrison, Area 1. Councillor District 9.
I'm David Lane, I'm senior planner with HRM and staff resource to the committee.
And we have
Steve Murphy with CBCL Limited.
I'm Jordan Smith with CBCL Limited.
I'm Scott LeBlanc, planning technician with HRM.
Oh, I'm George Hepp. Area 2. And we don't have the minutes from the previous meeting, so I think we'll go right into the council motion of November the 27th with regards to Area 2. If that's okay, David?
Scott, is this mic on? Do I turn? Test.
No.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Happy New Year to everyone. Couple of additions, Mr. Chair, to the agenda, so I'll just keep that slide up for just a second. And I'd ask the audience tonight to please pardon my back, but this is how we have to do it tonight. The cord's not long enough for me to be at the table there, so I apologize for that. Mr. Chair, you mentioned the minutes. So the minutes are not ready to be, they haven't been circulated to the committee. We're having technical difficulties with our digital recorder and the software that comes along with that, with our administrative support. I had hoped that possibly that would be resolved so we could at least table them here at the meeting, but they're not ready. So as soon as they are, I'll circulate them by email. Hopefully we'll get them approved at the next meeting. The addition to the agenda, which has been circulated hard copy to the committee, is a submission from our HRM Alliance, and all committee members have a copy of that for the record. So those are the two changes. I would also mention that Mr. Ben Garvey indicated by email that he may be about 20 minutes late this evening, but he's hopeful that he'll make it tonight. Okay, so having said that, we'll move on. So this slide, the intention here is to explain a little bit about our agenda tonight and where we're headed in the future. Tonight's focus will be on the consultation that has progressed so far in the last 8 months, 9 months that we've done. The two major components of that will be, I'll have a presentation to review the questionnaire results memo that the committee has. And I have a presentation that details question by question, if the committee is interested in seeing that. Welcome, Miles. The second component of that will be a presentation from Gordon with CBCL on the open house and the workshop summary and the results from that back on October 29th. And then the third component, which we initially had hoped that we would start some discussions this evening about cost estimates, we've elected to defer to one meeting, which will be the next meeting, and the date of that we'll discuss at this meeting, of course, to set that. But we felt that it would be more appropriate, given the time constraints and the two separate issues of the consultation and then the engineering estimates, to put all of those cost estimates into one meeting. So that'll happen at the next meeting. And then I've got another little note here that we're not limiting this to one more meeting or two more meetings. It's as many meetings as this committee requires to have a discussion and a debate about all the information that you will eventually have after the next meeting with the costs. And then, of course, there will have to be some discussion about all the information that's been presented to you. So as many meetings as is necessary is what we're offering. So, on the agenda, the next item there was the council motion of November the 27th. I felt that, Mr. Chair, this was appropriate to put on here just to clarify what that means for this committee and to give everybody a clear understanding of the mandate, the study itself, and the new community council that replaces Shibuoka, the former Shibuoka Community Council. So this slide shows you the motion at the regional council November the 27th. The bottom paragraph is the actual text from the minutes of that motion. I'll just read that out for everyone's benefit. The motion that was passed by regional council reads, that Halifax Regional Council direct, upon completion of the Purcell's Cove Servicing, Planning, and Engineering Feasibility Study, the residents of Study Area 2 be excluded from extension of central water and sewer services. Now, I've taken the opportunity here to highlight some of the key words. First would be upon completion. And what that refers to is the study continues, the information gathering, the fact finding, so that the full study is there for, at the end of this, for the community council to have for their decision making. The commitment that regional council made, however, is the rest of the bolded section there. Study Area 2 be excluded from extension of central water and sewer services. So regional council made a commitment that they would not include Study Area 2 property owners into that local improvement charge bylaw process that may result from this study if the community council recommends that service extensions be forwarded to regional council. But regional council has made a commitment now that if there is a local improvement charge bylaw, Area 2 will not be included in it. I pretty much just explained that slide. What I would add, there's no change to the boundaries, so the study areas, the study mandate, all that still remains. The council motion of November the 27th did not change any of that. It didn't change the requirements that our consultants are working under with regards to the request for proposals for this study. There's no change in the committee's mandate. There is a minor change in the terms of reference, that being that Councillor Adams is now an ex officio member in addition to Councillor Miller. I again sit corrected by one of my bosses, so it's not a minor, it's a major issue. Thank you, Councillor. So just a little bit more background for people's information. There's a new community council structure that resulted from the election in October. And as most people understand, regional council was reduced from 23 councillors down to 16. What that necessitated is we had six community councils that provided a representation throughout HRM. That has now been reduced to three. And those three community councils are Halifax and West Community Council, Harbor East Marine Drive Community Council, and Northwest Community Council. So the former Shibuoka Community Council, which was the nominating body, the governing and the reporting body for this committee, has been replaced by Halifax and West Community Council. All of the motions and directions that came from the former Shibuoka Community Council, they stand. The committee's responsibilities for reporting and governing, as I just mentioned, those are transferred from that former Shibuoka Community Council to the new Halifax and West Community Council. So who is the new Halifax and West Community Council? District 7 is Councillor Wade Mason. District 8 is represented by Councillor Jennifer Watts. District 9, Councillor Linda Mosier. District 10, Councillor Russell Walker. District 11, Councillor Stephen Adams, and District 12, Councillor Reg Rankin. So there's six districts and six councillors that are now representative on that new community council. So at the end of this study, the recommendation from this committee, the staff report that will include that recommendation, will be forwarded to this community council, Halifax and West, and to those councillors for their decision making. So what I've done here is for the members of this committee, I've just added Councillor Adams as an ex officio member. So now we have a committee of 10. Any questions?
Now, does the committee have any questions about the motion or make up of the committee?
Gordon, you're up.
Presented in the report that we give to the committee here as part of our final report, because that was part of our mandate, was to do this open house and workshop and show the results of that. What am I not doing here?
Double check.
It's not even plugged in.
I'll take half responsibility for that because I tested the laser pointer, and of course that worked.
There we go. So, no problem. So the purpose of that meeting was to develop an understanding from the residents about possible service area boundaries and residents' thoughts about community form, and that comes out of the RFP that we had. So in terms of the details of that, a little bit, 185 people signed in. And one of our steering committee members did an analysis of those people who signed in. So out of that, we had 48 people from Area 1, 42 people from Area 2, 91 people were from outside the study area who were there, but the majority of these people were very close to the study area. And unfortunately, we weren't able to assign four people, either it was unclear or there wasn't an address given. So that was kind of the composition of the people who were at that meeting. In terms of how the meeting went, people were invited to participate in small groups with some questions that we had, and I'll just go over those questions again in a moment. 15 groups formed out of that large group of people. You probably recall we had some maps with information obtained to date that were up on the back walls, and people were invited to mark those up and put post-it notes on them to make sure that any information we had was accurate in terms of the mapping that we had. And then we had some time at the end of the meeting for an open mic session where people could provide additional comments. And we had great participation. I think lots of people had opportunities to say things and participate, so it was good. So in terms of questions we asked in the small group sessions, we asked, do you want central services? If you don't want them, why don't you want them? And there were some reasons there for that. And we provided some space for people to add additional comments. If you're interested in obtaining central services, which options would you be willing to entertain? To try to limit your costs. Again, some options there with space for additional. And then if the community wanted to think about option C, which was the this one here, allowing some new development to limit costs, would they like to provide some information on where it should go and what form it would take? So in response to question one, do you want central services? All except for one person said they didn't want central services and that they were in fact very strongly opposed to the provision of central services in the area. In the open mic session, some people expressed that you know, time might be better spent helping individual households with water supply problems, determine solutions to their particular problems. in terms of question two, if no, why don't you want central services? People almost unanimously expressed they were happy with their existing systems and they were worried about how much it would cost them if central services were installed. I think people were also concerned that central services would have an impact on their tax rates or area charges. People almost unanimously expressed concerns about the loss of natural open space. I think partially because of the last reason here, which is like a vast majority of people were concerned that this was seen as a backdoor way to allow some additional development in the area. In terms of question number three, if you're interested in obtaining central services, which options would you be willing to entertain to limit your costs? And this question, universally, everybody said it's not applicable because in question one, we said we don't want central services, so why are you even asking us this? And in terms of question four, asking people if they were interested in thinking about new development as a way to limit costs, where should it go, what form it would take? And I think people here universally expressed that there should be no additional development in that media area to remain open space to develop. That's the backlands. In terms of the mapping we had at the back of the room, people provide it to some very strong statements that central sewer and water were not needed. And you look on the maps that we have there, and there's at least 10 to 15 post-it notes per map that express this. People express very strong sentiments that the backlands should be protected either as open space or greenbelt or wilderness park. People express very strong concerns that woods, wildlife, wetlands, and lakes must be protected in terms of anything that happens in the area. We had very limited comments on the particulars of the information presented on the maps, and so I think Williams Lake Conservation Company has done some work and is just getting some of that stuff completed, so we're looking forward to getting that so that we can integrate that in and make sure that the mapping we have is as accurate as we can make it. It was a desktop study for us. So any additional information we can get, that's very helpful to us. So just in terms of our conclusions from that meeting, I think what we heard really clearly and is that people are very concerned that the process is being manipulated to achieve a desired result. They express satisfaction with the septic and water services that they have, and they're concerned that central services will be forced upon them in some way. They don't want additional development in the area and would like to see the backlands preserved as public open space or a greenbelt. And they're concerned that new development or additional development in the area would affect the woodlands and wildlife and ground and surface water quality in the area. So I think that's, in a nutshell, the conclusions that we got from that open house that we held. So I don't know if the committee has any questions about that. I can try to answer them.
Any questions for Gordon?
Is this more or less the form that will show up in your written
That, yeah, it'll be more or less that form. I understand in talking to David in terms of the post-it notes and all the different pieces of information that we received, those are going to be recorded and added as an appendix. So they'll all be typed up, and then there's I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, David, that there was the recording that was done of the comments and things like that. Again, those are going to be transcribed and added as an appendix. So we should have a pretty complete record of what occurred at that meeting.
Thank you very much. That was, we'll be glad to go and do that in your final report. And I think David is going to compare your results with our results. I'll compare with it.
Stop.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's a risk here that this meeting may actually be finished at 9 o'clock, which hasn't happened yet. think if no one opposes, we should keep the lights down. Does that help?
Yeah. Hard to take notes.
Well, that's the decision we need to make. So if folks want to light want the lights up the way we had it, we can put it back on.
Can you turn on half the lights? The back.
I think, Scott, we're kind of limited to either what we had or this.
Yeah, it's the right or the left. Yeah.
Full
bank.
Want back on?
Yeah.
Turn on that thing.
Okay, Scott, would you mind? Thank you.
No, we don't need both of them.
So, Mr. Chair, what I have here is, as I mentioned at the beginning, question by question slideshow that represents the memo, the questionnaire results memo that I prepared for the committee. And I thought that if the committee so chose, that this would be a good way to communicate that to our audience, as well as have a discussion amongst the committee. If you find it's too long on the tooth, just tell me. But otherwise, I don't think it'll take too long. We've got about 20-odd slides here that go through each question in detail. So, without further ado, there's just a first page of the questionnaire that was sent out. We sent out 253 questionnaires. Of those, 128 were returned. And of those 128 responses, 60 came from Area 1, 57 came from Area 2, so pretty much an even split. 11 chose not to indicate any area. So what I just showed you pretty much represents question 1 on that survey, which was, where do you live? Question 2, so the way this has been formatted is you'll see Q and a number and possibly a sub letter after that. That represents the question on the survey. And that survey that we sent out is attached as an attachment to that memo for your reference. So I'll just read out the questions as I go. Question 2, from the description below, rank your view of using sections of the currently undeveloped land in areas 1 and 2, and the ranking was a 1 to 4, that was a sliding scale. And the 1 equated to very inappropriate, and the 4 at the top end of the scale would be very appropriate. So that's the range. And then you'll see the subsection questions, A, B, C, etc., etc. So what you'll see there is an average for the study area, and then I've broken that down. I shouldn't say I have broken it down. Staff from finance broke this down. I didn't touch this. When they came in, they were put in a box. They were sent into our finance department. And a certified management accountant, CMA, went through this. What I did bring tonight was every response that we received with its corresponding envelope. Those are attached. They're in a box over there. And if the chair or anyone else on the committee wants to take possession of those, you're more than welcome to have them. So what those numbers represent is an average of those. So that's why you see the decimal place. If we see something that is greater than 4, then someone made a boo-boo. I don't recall seeing that yet. So, question 2A, and again, this is ranking as to very inappropriate or very appropriate. And just, sorry, before I go too far, the questions, and this is mostly for the audience purposes, the questions were drafted by this committee. They were vetted by you guys. We had assistance from HRM's business planning unit, who do a lot of surveys, a lot of our online surveys, as well as our corporate communications group. So they were vetted through that. So we came up in the end with what the committee thought was a good questionnaire. Question 2A. As a place of natural landscape in an urban setting, the average on that was a 3.4, so that's closer up the very appropriate scale. For Area 1, it was the same, a 3.4. And for Area 2, a little bit stronger, 3.6. 2B, as a place of natural parkland with trails, average was 3.6, Area 1, a 3.5, Area 2, stronger again, 3.7. And again, I'll just remind everybody, the first number that I'm referencing is for the entire study area, and then the next two break it down clearly, area one, area two. So question 2C, as an opportunity for residential development, the average was 1.5, area one is a 1.6, and area two was just a little bit below average, 1.4. 2D, question 2D, as a place of mixed uses including playgrounds, parkland, lakeshore, waterfront areas, and natural parkland. Average was 2.8, area 1, 2.7, area 2, 2.9. Question 2E, as a place of mixed uses including housing, parkland, and recreation areas. Average there was a 1.9. Area 1, a 1.8. Area 2, a 1.9. So fairly consistent across the board. Question 2F. As a place of mixed uses, including businesses, housing, parkland, and recreational areas. Average is 1.4. Area 1, a 1.3. And area 2, a 1.6. I should also mention, as I do this, if the committee members have any questions, please stop me, interrupt, and ask me. Then we moved on to question.
I think that it is worth the comment that that's a pretty good numerical setup for exactly what Gordon just described. As soon as you put housing in, it's a huge shift from appropriate to inappropriate, which is sort of the same reflection, but it's got some numbers on it. And that there's almost no difference between the two areas in terms of that. Numbers. There's no statistically significant difference between the two areas in terms of the response as well as everything in the survey. It's clear.
So moving on, question 3. Do you have a well? Answers for the whole study area, 89% said yes. Now, I chose to show you the yes response here, because that was the stronger. The question asked that, so I was looking for a positive response. 89% said yes. For area 1, it was again 89%. For area 2, 91%. Question 4, do you have a water reservoir, i.e. a cistern? Answers again for the whole area, 10% said yes. And again, for area 1, 10% said yes. Area 2, 11%. Question 5A. Have you had problems with the quantity of your water supply? Quantity. Whole study area, 80% said never. That same response for area 1, 77% said never. And again, for area 2, 87% said never. Never had a quantity problem with water supply. Question 5B, have you purchased water out of necessity? The entire study area, 83% said never. Area 1, 82% said never. And area 2, 87% said never. Never had to purchase water out of necessity. Study area, 78% said never. For area 1, 79% said never. For area 2, 78% said never. Never had quality problems with water supply. Question 5B, have you tested your water quality? Entire study area, 68% occasionally. 22% of the entire study area said frequently. I listed those two because they're both positive. For area 1, the same breakdown, occasionally 63%, frequently 25%. For area 2, 71% said occasionally tested water quality. And 22% said frequently for testing of water quality. Question 5E. Have you had problems with your septic system? Entire study area, 80% said never. 10% said occasionally. Area 1, 83% said never. An additional 8% said occasionally. And for area 2, 76% said never. And 12% said they had occasional problems with their septic system. Question 5F, how old is your septic system? So with this question, there is the ability to answer a variety of range of years. 0 to 10 years, 10 to 20 years, 20 plus years, or if you were uncertain or didn't know, that was an option. So how old is your septic system for the entire study area? 18% indicated 0 to 10 years of age. 25% indicated 10 to 20 years of age. 44% indicated 20 plus years. And 13% indicated they were uncertain or they didn't know. By comparison, area 1, and these numbers line up underneath each other. 0 to 10 years, 17%. 10 to 20 years, 24%. 20 plus years, 50%. And uncertain or don't know, 9%. For area 2, 0 to 10 years equals 20%. 10 to 20 years equals 22%. 20 plus years, 38%. Uncertain, don't know, 20%. So that's age of septic system. Question 6A. If cost were not an issue for me as a property owner, I would like sewer and water services extended to my property. So I'll read that again. If cost were not an issue for me as a property owner, I would like sewer and water services extended to my property. So this has two answers to it. The first one was water only, the entire study area. Responses were 31% said yes, 64% said no, and 5% had no opinion. Breaking that down, area 1, 33% said yes to water, 60% said no to water, and 7% had no opinion. For area 2, 28% said yes, 70% said no, and 2% had no opinion. So the second part of this question, and I'll repeat it again, if cost were not an issue for me as a property owner, I would like sewer and water services extended to my property. This is a sewer component. For the entire study area, 28% said yes to sewer. 67% said no. 5% had no opinion. Breaking that down, area 1, 31% said yes to sewer. 64% said no. 5% had no opinion. Area 2, 25% said yes, 73% said no, and 2% had no opinion. Did I repeat something there? I'm sorry, the numbers are starting to fall. Okay, as long as I didn't repeat myself. There are, and there's a lot of numbers out there, so I just wanted to make sure that I didn't explain. So that's water and sewer, and again, the question was, if costs were not an issue for me as a property owner, I would like sewer and water services extended to my property. Okay, question 6B. I would be prepared to pay the cost of having these services extended to my property only if the amount does not exceed the average cost of replacing a septic system, approximately $25,000. And if the payment would be amortized on my tax bill over an extended period, for example, 20 years. So for this question, for the entire study area, 21% said yes. 74% said no. 5% had no opinion. Area 1, 25% said yes. 70% said no. 5% no opinion. Area 2, 17% yes. 79% no. 4% no opinion. And again, the question was, I would be prepared to pay the cost of having these services extended to my property only if the amount does not exceed the average cost of replacing the septic system, which is approximately $25,000, and if the payment would be, there's a typo there, I apologize, the payment would be amortized on my tax bill for an extended period, for example, 20 years. Question 6C. I would be willing to consider some level of residential development in my area to reduce the cost of extending these services per property owner. So answers for the entire study area, 21% said yes. 77% said no. 2% had no opinion. Area 1, 25% said yes. 74% said no. 2% had no opinion. Area 2, 15% said yes. 81% said no. And 4% had no opinion. So again, the question was, I would be willing to consider some level of residential development in my area to reduce the cost of extending these services per property owner.
Area 1, 101%, yeah.
Okay, thank you for pointing that out. I caught that too, and the reason for that, according to our CMA, is the rounding of the decimal places, which, and Dr. Dawson's not convinced, this is a good sign. That happens, it depends on how far you go with the decimal numbers, so that can occur.
It's interesting to note that the percentages are useful, but it's interesting to relate the percentages back to the number of households. If you have 60 households, one of those households is 1.6%, 1.67%. 57, one out of 57 for area 2 is slightly higher, 1.7%. So where you're seeing, you know, 2% with no opinion, that's essentially one household, so it's no opinion. It's just interesting to look at that.
And Ben, what you're pointing out is exactly, you know, the purpose of the committee. So I'm just showing you guys the factual information.
It's just interesting to see the granularity of the study. You know, 3 or 4 households can make a huge difference.
Question 7. If residential development were to occur, and recognizing that Purcell's Cove is designated as a low-growth area and is largely privately owned, please rate your preference for the following types and density of housing. And again, this is a sliding scale, 1 through 4, same ranking as before. 1 is very inappropriate, up to 4, which is very appropriate. The question is, if residential development were to occur, and recognizing that Purcell's Cove is designated as a low-growth area and is largely privately owned, please rate your preference for the following types and density of housing. So 7A, question 7A related to that question, identified single-family detached housing. So the entire study area, a 2.7, that's out of 4, 1 through 4. 2.7 for the entire study area. For area 1, it was a 2.7 again. For area 2, a 2.6. The next category was duplexes. Answer for the entire study area on that scale of 1 to 4. The answer was a 1.6. Area 1, again, a 1.6. Area 2, a 1.5. Townhouses, 1.6 all around. Entire study area, area 1, area 2. 1.6 on a scale of 1 to 4. Question 7D, apartments. entire area, 1.3. Area 1 was a 1.4. Area 2 was a 1.2. Question 7E, a mix of housing types. Entire area, a 1.5. Area 1 was 1.7. Area 2, a 1.2. We're up to question 8. There was only 9 questions. That helps me. Question 8. Please rank your opinion of the following potential concerns of having sewer and water extended to your area using the scale. Same scale, 1 to 4 ranking. The difference this time would be the definitions on either end of that scale. 1 equated to very unimportant. Unimportant. Number 4, very important. Please rank your opinion of the following potential concerns of having sewer water extended to your area. Question 8A, cost to homeowners. Entire study area at 3.6. That's out of 4, 3.6. Area 1, 3.5. Area 2, 3.6. Question 8B, disruption caused by the work. Entire study area, all study area, area 1, area 2, all consistent again, at 3.2 all around, 3.2. Question 8C, environmental disturbance. Entire study area and area 1 each had 3.4. Area 2 was at 3.5. Question 8D, an opening up of the area to further development. Entire study area at 3.4. Area 1 was at 3.3. Area 2 at 3.4. Question 8E.
There must be some other estimates that are missing here, right? 3.4 and 3.5 should be an average of 3.45, rounds up to 3.5.
Then again, I didn't question the CMAs. Now, you know, they indicated if there's issues or concerns, they can look at it all again.
I'm saying just for consistency, in other places where we've seen 3.4 or 3.5, the average has gone up.
Right. So
I just wondered why it didn't this time.
I don't have an explanation for you, but if you want me to look into it, I can go back to them and get your response.
It's not significant.
Okay. And that may be the answer that they say.
Yes.
But if something the committee wants to address, we'll do that for you. I think I was on 8D, but I'm just going to say 8D again. Opening up of area to further development. This is question 8D. Entire area 3.4. Area 1, 3.3. Area 2, 3.4. Question 8E, do not see the need. Entire area at 3.3. Area 1 was at 3.3. And area 2 was at 3.4. Okay, that was it.
I was just corrected.
You don't have the same number of responses from area 1 and 2, so you're not averaging the two
not
numbers
the same
that you
way.
See there. So, and so for each of the questions, it can vary slightly. And it's fine, and if you just look on the spreadsheet, you can get the number to go out to as many significant, and as many decimal places as you want. But it's not meaningful with the sample size, so these numbers are a good flavor of what's there. It doesn't merit any more decimal places.
Okay, that's it. That's all the questions that run the questionnaire. So again, that is raw data that was entered into a spreadsheet and it was broken down to areas 1 and area 2 as per the committee's direction. You have the memo from myself that gives you a little bit of background of the questionnaire itself. All of the spreadsheets that go along with that. That memo and those attachments is posted now to our project webpage for people who may not be able to make it here tonight, or for people who want to reflect upon it. After the meeting tonight, this presentation will be posted to the webpage as well. Gordon's will be, and Steve's maps, maybe. We could get them on there, depending on the size. So whatever presentations you see tonight, as we've always done, we'll put them on the webpage. So, Mr. Chair, I guess, were there any questions I want to present thus far?
Any questions? Were there any respondents that were that strong of an opinion that entered maybe a 0 or a 10, even though they weren't the options that sometimes would occur?
So, Councillor Adams, your question is, were there any very strong indications on any of the responses that may not have been fit that 1-4? So, I've reviewed every single response that came in, so all 128, and I read every comment that was on there. To answer your question, there were some strong indications. People chose different ways to indicate that. Those are all, as I say, they're in a box. There's a taped up box over there for the committee, so should they so choose. But I got to tell you, in general, and I mean, the response, I think, speaks for itself. That's a very good response to any survey. People took the time to complete it. I recognize there were some growing pains as we went through that in the process, but I think in the end, a good response was received. And that's something that the committee wanted to have as supplementary consultation to the open house and workshop that we held. And the rationale behind that was to give people an opportunity who live in the study area to voice their opinion if they felt uncomfortable or weren't able to, for a variety of reasons, to make it to that one meeting that we held. So the purpose of this information is, again, additional public input for the committee's consideration.
It's one of the things I think is very interesting is that the question for the sewer services, the percentages for Area 1 and Area 2 are almost identical to the surveys that were done by the community, two communities concerned. Those are almost the identical numbers in terms of being the two-thirds not wanting it in Area 1. 80%
not wanting to carry it to. I believe we're very close on that
64%. That's the correct slide, though, Melanie. Yes. Sorry, Kate. Yes, that 64% said no. It's almost identical, spot on. I believe in the Area 1 community survey that was done. And the Area 2, in fact, it was a bit higher than that. I think it was closer to 80%, I think, but it was very similar to.
73.
For what the community surveys were, which again says that by two quite independent survey members come up with exactly the same responses, which is nice.
How many respondents were to those community surveys?
It would be the statistics on that one, I think, is actually it was done differently because I believe I wasn't the one doing anything with those. Just more, I think you had more details on it than I did. It was a house-to-house survey that was done, but I think the numbers are actually, or households is actually, would be quite high, probably higher than the 50% we had. But ours was one where it went out in a different way with it to property owners. So both of them gave the same response, which indicated it didn't matter which of the ratio surveyed.
It's your interpretation that this is a good level of respondents, and in a typical survey, this would be a high response rate. But given the potential impacts of the survey and given the level of interest and awareness, I was disappointed with the 50%. And there could be congruence with other surveys, certainly, but I would have expected personally that you'd have at least 75. I was just surprised.
I don't think I've ever gotten a community survey that's done 75% anywhere. Have you ever? No one ever. People have lives that don't.
I've had some surveys with pretty good results, but
I don't think anything.
It depends on the issue. If it's just a general
75% of all households, I don't think I would be very.
This is talking about the subject matter. Yes, I would have thought. That
my thought
would have taken the time.
Does it ever happen? No.
I'm not. You have to have somebody that has experience in sending surveys out for this exact thing.
I do, actually, when we were doing those before for the last community planning committee thing, that was something where people who do that kind of thing, we had experts on the committee, and that one, I believe, was actually I think it was actually closer to about 33% or 30, something like that. Maybe someone could put, again, for the Ravenscrape, that whole Williams Lake Road development that was going to be the extension.
Yeah, but I would like to
so point, the point on that, the expert said, I was disappointed in that one. I said, 33%, that doesn't sound like much. They said, this is really strong for this type of thing.
And so, that was a strong response from that.
Yeah. So,
but which one, I personally, you know, that's your interpretation, it's a strong response. And my interpretation is that it's a disappointing response, given these stuff. And I would like to get information from other surveys that have gone out for HRM to see what their response rate, and maybe their response rate is the same.
I think what you'll find if you talk to people who do this look at statistics, that this gives you a level of confidence that would actually be at the level where you can say this is totally representative.
I'm not questioning the statistical value. I'm looking at the subject and the level of interest in this community and the level of awareness. And I personally feel that there was a 50% response rate is disappointing. And that's my opinion. I'm trying to exercise that. I'm talking to the engineers about
it. And I just say about disappointing compared to whether you can have confidence in the result to different things. I think that we're making a distinction there.
Question for Mel. The survey that was here was mailed out to everybody. The other community survey, fill me in.
Well, you have the same thing that I do. It's the information that was given us in our information pack about how those community surveys were done originally. I think Tanya was the one who actually showed me that more extensive information that was on the website here. I think you put it there on how that was done. This is not information I only had.
No, I was just questioning how we gathered that sort of thing.
I believe it was.
Was it a mail-out as well? Or?
No. I think it was in both communities. You had individuals who went round door to door to collect information for household and got people to put their answer down.
Okay. No, that's fine. I don't need any statistics or anything like that. I'm just trying to refresh my memory as to where.
Yeah.
I know this survey. I got it in the mail, and everybody got it in the mail, and
I'm
vetted by everybody.
Yeah, two independent communities.
The other community survey that you're making reference to, I'm just trying to refresh my memory in terms of what were the questions and when was it done and how was it done, because I'm just not recalling it at this time.
I know they were done at slightly different times. I think one was earlier, the one for Area 2, I think yours was done much earlier, and then there was Area 1 was done almost more, I believe more in the fall.
Done by a door-to-door kind of campaign,
yeah,
sort of thing?
Actually, the kids were identified, and so it was very real in terms of who could sign, and it was only the property owners, and it was very well done, and we were pleased to provide it again, because it's very interesting, as you said, Melanie, how it marries. It's practically exactly what this survey found.
Yeah.
But we'll provide all the raw data and everything you need.
I just can't recall what all the questions were. Couldn't recall. Obviously, these questions are in front of us. The questions that were asked by this other alternative community survey, I'm not sure that I recall what they were or what the results were.
So, it was one question.
I think
it wanted
services, yes or no.
Carry on, sorry.
Some information was entered into the spreadsheet, but as you can imagine, when you get into those cells, that's very long, and you'll kind of sense that in attachment E.
We saw that.
Yeah, I figured you would. So that spreadsheet is available to you as well in the digital format. But what it won't capture would be some of the, for example, question number 9.
The triple underlines.
Yeah, stuff like that, right? Stuff like that. Now, what you raise, it is possible to have them all scanned. But I'd have to offer this at this point. Staff resources to do that are very stretched. I'd rather not make a commitment to that. But again, what I would offer, and that's why I brought them along, is if the committee would like to inherit those, they're there for you.
Sure. I think from HRM's perspective and the lack of trust and the constant questions of surveys, that I think it would be incumbent upon us to keep that. And if somebody wants to look at it, but it should be, we've got other surveys that Steve and I have done in this community about expenditures, and we've kept the surveys. And I don't say us keep it, it can be in accounting or whatever, but I don't feel comfortable just letting it go to validate the data we need to keep.
Committee needs access to it at some point.
Yeah.
Are you saying
no,
that?
Yeah, I'm saying people can have access.
Can't read it?
Either survey, no, you can read it. But it's HRM must be keeping the beer.
I would like to request that the committee have access to that.
Yes.
For a certain period of time.
Well, then it can be, then there can be allegations that it's manipulated. I mean, if it can be kept in one spot, if people go in and read it, fine.
Yes,
or scan. Okay. I'm not saying you can get access.
Let's scan.
I'm going to scan it.
Based on yeah.
That would be great. If you can scan it, that would be great.
I'll scan it.
Okay.
Just
put it in the chill time. Just lay it on top of your and let it go.
Things don't seem like they should be so difficult.
No, no. Miles, you're in IT. Maybe you can give me some advice there. We'll talk.
Maybe we could ask. You made a comment earlier that you thought this was a fabulous response. You've had some experience with community surveys before. This response rate, you're quite happy with it?
So. That innocuous comment has seemed to have drawn a lot of attention in this discussion. My role here is to present, you guys with factual
facts.
Information, exactly. Not for me to circulate opinion.
Then I'd like to ask Gordon. What's your experience with community surveys and response rates?
For water and sewer potential extensions.
Well, I'd have to say on that potential, I have no experience, but I think controversial issues, you get a higher response rate. Non-controversial issues, 3%, you're happy. You know, so, but if controversy goes
higher
up,
higher than 3%.
Response rate goes up.
So your opinion of this response rate is?
Higher than 3%.
I'm a fence sitter, I can see both sides, to be honest. No, because I think it is a fabulous response rate, but
okay.
I also hear what the councillor is saying in many ways as well. I would have thought it's like it's a real hot button issue. In a public meeting, we had 158 people out, which is I've had one other public meeting in 22 years of experience where I had 120 people, right? So
yeah.
It's a big issue, and so it's hot on people's minds. So, you know, you can take either opinion. But as a written survey, I think that, you know, for people to sit down and
only 54%
time, right?
Of 30
and maybe they feel,
of people,
you know, I've come to the public meeting and voiced it that way. Look, there's a whole bunch of different reasons why or why
too.
Not, so.
And 1 week to do it.
Less than
a
week to respond.
Just saying.
I think the results speak for themselves. So.
What I'm finding interesting is that we don't seem to be getting any response from 50% of the community, no matter what we do. The survey, the public open house. If we look at the public open house, we're 185 in attendance, and 91 lived outside the study area. So 94 were within area 1 and 2. And in this survey of 253 sent out, we had 128 responses. So how are we going to figure out what the other 50% of the community is doing?
That's always one of the
challenges. The statistics would be that you can actually do it on sample size, and you can actually assume that you've drawn a representative sample from the bowl. And that if you actually have 50 things that you've taken out of the bowl, and you know, there are calculations you can do on this that actually give you a confidence level of, you know, 95% confidence level or whatever, that's based on what the pool size is and how many you've gotten back. But when we bill somebody, if you go through with like a LIC process to implement and levy a charge on a household, we're not going to have confidence in a representative sample. We're going to have actual, each person votes.
Very different.
No,
than the election results.
At the end of the day, it was a very simple survey that was mailed out. People are well aware of this. It's a
people were well aware of the election, and only 40% voted in District 9.
So
exactly.
If they feel strongly either way, they will fill
the
in.
Exactly.
Well, actually, our district had one of the highest.
It did, but it's still about 40%, which is less than 50% for the study.
You're not on the committee. Yeah. And that's why I'm going to. Is this a
Counselor, you're absolutely correct.
Or is it a committee meeting? Because we have opportunity afforded at the end for public participation. So if we just have back and forth, how are we going to, as a committee, move forward to discuss it?
Right. So folks in the audience, if you could, do the committee the respect of withholding your comments until the public participation session later on this evening, please. Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, David. I see we started this whole project back in June. We finally have results, so that's good to see. And whether it's 50% or not, I think it certainly represents the feeling of the residents. And I'm really pleased to see that you've kept track of that box of questionnaires. If you take them back with you and scanned in the comments, I think they deserve to be read. But I think if you take them with you, that would be good. But thank you very much for controlling things and getting this done this way. And too bad it's taken so long. But thank you very much.
You're welcome.
On that note, is there any way that we can get a revised project schedule for this? Because I think we were to be done in December.
Steve, you and Gordon could revise that to reflect it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can get that. And that's also something we can post on our webpage. The more information we can put on there, the better for transparency and information sharing. So we'll do that, Tammy. Thank you.
So if we're okay, if any questions, more questions from the committee, this is your chance to have a question about the questionnaire. It's not.
Well, it is. Do we as a committee address the results in any way? I don't know how the mechanism is here, or do we just file it in and it becomes part of the record? I don't know what process is.
I'm not sure either.
That's it.
That's it.
Nope. It's advertising. That's now it's part of the report.
It's turned over to the consultants as I see it, and it's their input.
It's all of that, and whatever the committee wishes.
If the committee submits a report to the community council, presumably we can give our interpretation of the results, right?
So Miles is just saying, what input can the committee have to the community council? And what you will have is a recommendation. And as I've mentioned several times, all of the consultation and information gathering that this committee has done to date and will continue to do, that will make it into that report that goes to community council, so they have all the information that they need. Part of that is going to be a recommendation from this committee. And that recommendation can take any form that the committee so chooses.
But do we as a committee make any kind of a statement in any way that we recognize that the results of this are a good reflection of what the community feels? I guess that's what I'm not.
Make that motion. I don't know if we can make that draw that conclusion. No. The results are what they are. Some members may say that it's a great reflection of the results. Others may say no, it's not. The results would be open for whoever looks at them. They can decide our staff or community council or this committee on a personal basis or on a group basis as to whether or not they are reflective of previous results or if that's a good measure of the community or it isn't. I don't know if comment from this committee will add value to that. We submit it to community council along with the staff report and the results will stand by themselves and allow for interpretation or perhaps misinterpretation by whoever reads them.
That's my concern.
That's why I say misinterpretation or interpretation. Right? But regardless, if the committee, 10 of us endorse and say this is a reflection of the community, that still will go to the community council and be addressed. So the ones that are looking at this will do the math, basically.
Why are we here?
Yeah.
I would hope that the council would, I guess, react based on our recommendations and the information we provided and not the absence of information. So if there are concerns about 50% response rate, we have to go with the information that we've been provided. I feel like we've given an opportunity to provide information. I don't think there's any reason to back away from what we found.
Isn't there a mandate more than this? Like, aren't we supposed to look at cost analysis and traffic and all those other things?
We're not done yet. This is one piece of information, but we do, I think, have to provide our own interpretation of it.
I guess as someone who is not in one of the study areas, I was looking for, I really, because there have been so many issues with the idea of the petitions earlier, I wanted to have this as something where I could say that we had done it in a very unbiased way, and we would be able to look at this and see whether there was any support in the community or not, or whether there was a poor extension of services. And what I see is that there is no strong support in either area or that's what the survey results would say to me, that it's really, I don't see a silent majority that's showed up, which is what it might have happened if there had been the sense in which the community petitions were interesting and people got to answer those ones. I thought ours actually was done in such a different way that we would have captured if there had been a large group that was really wanting those services and didn't feel like they could answer in some other way. I really thought, I was prepared to say, let's see if they're there. But I don't see any evidence that there is a strong support for that. In fact, what I see is the opposite, that there is a strong opinion from both Area 1 and 2. So that's just what I'm seeing from the survey, which is, I don't know whether we as the committee write that down or would even agree on it, but that's just my personal interpretation.
I don't think ultimately that would make part of the recommendation. I don't think we're going to do a recommendation based just upon the survey, and then we do one based upon public participation. And I think ultimately it all is married together as one report. This becomes part of
it. Agreed. Ultimately it does. But each piece of information that comes in, we as a committee have to decide how we're going to handle that piece of information and how that informs our ultimate report.
So you think like write part of the report today or write part of 2 weeks?
No, I think we
take it in.
We have an obligation to make a comment that reflects our interpretation of these results at this time so that we can put that in bed. It's a known sort of to stamp. We've done this work. Here's the data. Here's our interpretation of the data. We hand that to the consultants for inclusion in their report. We move on to the next piece of data. And at the end, we have all these individual activities that we've done with our conclusions at each one. We don't go back at that time and say, well, you know, 6 months ago when we did that survey, I kind of felt like it was fair, but I'm not feeling that way anymore. Data's here now, we've had a discussion about it. Now is the time, when it's fresh in our minds, to decide what we as a committee are going to do with this data and how we interpret it. And that's my opinion.
With that being said, shouldn't we also be doing one now for the workshop? And for that there's many other pieces as
absolutely.
Well, so we should have
absolutely.
About a half dozen of them already.
I agree.
How do we get it done?
We sit and debate it and decide how we're going to get it done. That's why we're here. Otherwise, why are we here? If we're just collecting raw data, handing it to the consultants, there's really not much point in us being here. City staffers can do that just fine.
Under the NOCA, we just giving raw data to the consultants. Ultimately, I think we're coming together for one report at the end, part of which comes from the raw data, part of which comes from some of the different tasks we've done all along.
The trouble is that when you collect data like this survey, and you have a moment in time. We can make a judgment based on the data that shows up at that time. If we don't make a judgment and make a statement about this data now, then in 6 months, when we have 6 months more data, it is going to affect the way we view this data. It's going to change. It's going
going to alter over time.
No, but these are just numbers. They're not going to change.
The way you interpret numbers changes. Sure it does. It's 3.6.
But that's absolutely the reason not to make a motion now. That's absolutely the reason not to make a motion now. If things have an opportunity to change and move as they go along, you can't set something in stone now. And if 6 months down the road that opinion changes, then the opinion you had at first is not right.
It's not a question.
It's not complete.
It's not a question of setting things in stone. It's a question of providing our best interpretation. These are all judgments based on the data we have in front of us. This is our best interpretation of these results at this time. For example, my interpretation of these results are that it is very clear the majority of the respondents surveyed have no interest in extending sewer water services to either area 1 or 2, and it's an equal weight. That seems to me to be perfectly clear from this, from the public presentation process, and from all of the data we've got so far. Now, if we don't capture that somewhere at this time, then it provides all kinds of opportunity for this data to be minimized, reflected, changed, otherwise, swept or reduced in its validity. I think it's important to capture it now.
The data can't be changed.
The interpretation of the data can't.
There are a few things. This is the first time where we've actually seen formally the whole process by how the data was compiled, put together. It's officially the first time. We had the hard copies come in various bits and pieces. The latest bit was just a couple days ago. But I think that's something where do we accept as a committee that the information, now that we've seen how it was collected, was actually done so that there is validity to the information that's collected? We didn't have the breakdown on the end. Actually, as it turned out.
I guess I did my own.
So did I.
Yeah, me too.
But.
So basically, we should decide on validity of the survey. Do we agree that
the survey provides useful information?
And that we'll be using it in our report.
Yes. Can we make that agreement at least tonight? Because this is the first time we've heard about how the envelopes were marked officially brought together by the
Are we going to be accepting this as
part of
so that we will use this as a piece of information to ultimately make our final recommendation? So are we okay with that? And then we move on to the next piece of information. Are we okay with this? And then ultimately we make our
But at an unofficial meeting, we were discussing this when we heard there was so much outcry in the community because people said they were not going to put this in. They were very angry about the survey. And I said, at this point we could actually decide not to look at any of the results and not use it. That was an option we had at that stage. And we agreed to go ahead that we would use it. So we that was the last time we discussed it. So this is kind of the stage at which now we've actually heard, because we had a lot of questions about security, how do we know who the people filled it in a valid way. This is the first meeting we've had to officially discuss the survey. All those components that were actually an issue at one point in the past.
This is definitely part of the history of this committee, and it will form part of our opinion when we come to make the recommendation. So it's just a matter of stating that. I don't think that's any issue, but as far as coming with personal recommendations, trying to get the first one to see what it's done.
But to say we'll accept this document is, in other words, it wasn't rigged, we're okay with that.
Yes.
And that everybody accepts that the process was done properly and we'll accept it for what it is. Is that?
Yep.
And then
one stage.
It's a start.
It's not what was said originally. But, sorry. No, well, it's changed now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's different than what's said originally. Should we look at the highlighters?
All right. Glenn,
should we look at the highlighters?
Glenn, would you like to make a motion so we can vote on as a committee? This is the motion.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to say something.
Wait. If you make the motion, it'll be
discussed. How to word this.
That we accept the results of the survey as tabled by the or as presented by the staff to us. As we may collect it in there and recognize it in there and have it ready.
Mr. Chair, and so I hear what Dr. Dobson is saying. That's with the assumption that the memo that I've prepared for you gives you enough information, keeping in mind that the original documents are in that box.
Yeah.
You haven't personally seen that.
No.
So that puts a lot of your trust in myself. Right? And for all the reasons that we just discussed, I can understand why there may be some concerns there. So perhaps getting those things scanned so that each one of you can, at your own leisure, go through them to assure yourselves of what you're seeing.
So actually, that's a good point.
Yeah.
We defer until we actually see the full survey, until we see all the results, which we haven't, right? We haven't seen those, so we should probably have a look at those first.
We have, in fact, seen the spreadsheet.
But the comments.
We have seen the
Yeah, that's what I mean. We haven't seen the full.
But we've seen the spreadsheet that is behind the numerical data.
But wouldn't you like to see, I mean, I think everybody...
Oh, I'd love to see you come.
So would I, exactly. So maybe what I'm suggesting is that we see those first and then bring this back. So we see the whole thing and then make the final decision on it.
So what possibly could we see in the comments that would change the committee's acceptance of the numerical data of the validity of these?
But this goes right back to your point earlier. You can make that argument either way. So, but wouldn't it make sense to just see the whole thing?
Fair enough.
Just see 100%.
We can put it off to the next meeting.
It'll still be fresh in our minds. We can review it.
It's just done.
I'm going to survey the results again.
Just done.
When you read them already. Not what I read them already.
So, Glenn, you're going to withdraw your motion?
Yeah, you
can
make one.
Oh, yes.
So, at this time, the committee is not going to make any comment on the survey until we have reviewed personally the full results. Fair
enough? Should that be a motion?
No. You got a great way with
words. As long as the minutes reflect that.
Fair enough.
Yes.
The numbers are, they're clear. Those numbers are in the box, and regardless if we look at personal comments or the comments that were made, there's 10 of us, we probably have 20 opinions on what those comments mean. So we can defer it to the next meeting, but I don't think that's going to make any difference in how these are read. We had the survey for a reason. If you didn't want to at least accept the results, then you shouldn't have a survey. And I'm fully confident that David and the information was compiled in a fair and competent, honest manner. So the numbers won't change whether we look at them now or in 25 years or 50 years. They're still 3.6, 3.4, whatever they are. So if we simply say that based on the results of those that took the time to submit them, the numbers that have been given, we'll forward those to our staff and the consultant for inclusion in the report, and that once that information is compiled with all the others, the committee will have enough complete data to make a recommendation. say it's just like council. No.
Final report. You don't base your decision on one thing.
So,
that's why
is that reasonable? I mean, if we're not making, we're not prejudging anything, we're getting our information, then away we go. I can't repeat that, but.
So we're committed to a talk later.
Well, sort of.
I guess I don't really understand what commitment you want us to make at this point. What is it you're wanting us to?
That we accept the numerical data as is, that we accept the validity of the survey, that we accept that it was done in as fair a manner as possible. We accept it as a reasonable reflection of.
Now you're making a
conclusion. No, sorry, I went a little further there than I should have. We accept the data as written. That's all I need.
Accept the data and ensure that the consultant utilizes it as part of the final report.
That's fine. The data isn't going to change, just like Steve said. It is the data. I would like to read the comments too, but it's not going to change them. We don't need to revisit. Sorry about that.
How do we do that?
So, Ben, are you going to make a motion to cover his votes?
Well, I'll add all kinds of extra words.
Any discussion on the motion?
Glenn had it originally, that we accept the report findings and we submit it to the consultant and HRM staff for inclusion in the final report. Why can't we have that as an
started.
Do you want me to put that on?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you know, I think we owe it. It's part of when the survey went out, we had some concerns from members of the community. We had email about the security of the survey and so on. So I think we owe it to members of our community to say, okay, look, we've looked at this, we're satisfied that yeah, this was done properly and in a secure manner, and it wasn't rigged and so on, or it wasn't. Either it was done properly or it wasn't. So are we satisfied that the survey was done in a straightforward, honest manner?
I want to never.
Do we have a seconder for that motion?
We all want to know we're not second.
Ben seconds it.
Let's not revisit it, just a bit lame, but all in favor?
Yeah, all in favor of the motion.
Aye.
Any negative? No. Good. 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 Pass.
Three cheese. Three cheese.
Yes. No, we're waiting for Steve. Oh. David is fine.
Mr. Chair, thank you. So Steve's name has been burning an image on the screen for the last 30 minutes, so I just jumped off for a second. Before Steve starts, just want to cover a couple real quick high-level aspects of what they're looking into for us with regards to the request for proposals that we issued. So what you guys just talked about is a significant component of the study, right? You're there as I had that mandate up on the screen as we had a discussion about your liaising on behalf of your community. You are providing advice to staff, consultants, and eventually community council and regional council. That's all good. Three pertinent excerpts, because Steve is going to talk to you a bit about six scenarios that they are looking at in response to the request for proposals that we issued. What I wanted to point out on this slide, this is directly out of the request for proposals, is section B there in the end. So some of the options, and what I want to draw your attention to is, including but not limited to, these are some of the servicing alternatives that they're looking at. Pumping back into existing systems, a separate wastewater treatment plant on Northwest Arm, connecting to Halifax system across Northwest Arm, and others. So our consultants have identified six that they're going to get into details on at the next meeting. Steve's just going to briefly mention to you what those six scenarios are. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this meeting, the rationale behind that is that we have a level playing field so that the committee can take in all that information in one night so that we don't get partial information and go away, come back to the next meeting where there is supplementary information given. So for a variety of reasons, 3 or 4 weeks pass, it may appear that one option is the subsidizing of another option. We didn't want to have that happen. So that's kind of the rationale behind the agenda. Some of the issues that our consultants will explain at the next meeting are these shown here: opportunities and constraints, the costs, of course, and in great detail, broken down costs for wastewater, water, storm, and additional information about the capacity of the existing off-site infrastructure that this, any scenario that's proposed, has to tie into, and any upgrades or further constraints that would affect either of those options. And again, this is all directly out of that RFP. And then this kind of ties back into that consultation that the committee has done to this point, is that in consultation with the technical team and steering committee, and this committee is the community steering committee. We also have a technical steering committee of staff, and at the next meeting, a representative from Halifax Water will be present. Our consultant has already met with them to get information that they need to do their analyses. I've attended one of those meetings. That representative, Kenda McKenzie, she's a development engineer. She'll be coming along to our next meeting. And again, this is something that I've shown the committee over the last 8 months. There's more of a detailed analysis for Area 1, less so for Area 2. But again, to refer back to that November 27th motion of last year, the study still continues, with the exception of the commitment that the regional council made about any possible future LIC process for study Area 2. So I just wanted to point those issues out before Steve showed you those options. And again, he'll discuss those in much more detail at the next meeting.
Can you go back one slide?
Sure.
Please?
There?
The first point, it says describe the opportunities and constraints for each option and make recommendations as to the most feasible. I'm not sure if recommendations is appropriate terminology, perhaps outline options that would be available, because they're suggesting here that this is a foregone conclusion by recommendations,
right, so
as to the most feasible. So if we said that describe opportunities and constraints for each option and outline, or even just describe the opportunities and constraints for each option in terms of design, cost, and other land use servicing, and put forward the options.
So, Councilor, that's direct quote from the RFP. Now, keep in mind, CBCL, they are our consultant. They're the experts in the matter. So they are going to give us some recommendations based on their professional opinions. Their recommendations come to you guys, right? You're the first stop. You're the committee. And then, as Miles and Will had a conversation about, then this committee makes recommendations to community council.
Perhaps when Steve gets up, we can ask him what a recommendation would look like.
Sure.
What it would sound like.
Fair enough. Okay, Steve, thank you.
Thanks, Dave. I think I'll just reintroduce myself. My name's Steve Murphy from the CBCL. I'm a senior project manager with the firm, as well as a senior municipal engineer. And just to reiterate what Dave just noted, one of the tasks that we've been mandated to do as part of our study is to develop and assess options for providing central sewer and water service to both areas 1 and 2 within Purcell's Cove. So with that said, what we've been asked to do tonight is to present options we've looked at to date, and the options we present tonight certainly won't limit other options that may flesh out as we move further through the process. But certainly tonight we're going to present 6 options, and the purpose really being to provide the committee with just a broad and general overview of what those options will be comprised of. And then, as Dave noted, at the next meeting, we'll talk about those options in much more detail, present the pros and cons of each one, and have some construction cost estimates to developed for each one as well. So with that said, we'll run through the six options that we've developed to date. But before I do that, I'll just sort of set the context of the map here so everybody can understand where we're at. This is the northwest arm here, the red line here. This is Purcell's Cove Road. And then Williams Lake Road down through here, Herring Cove Road. So it's deep. So this is the first option that we've developed. The darker red lines represent what we would call sort of the trunk infrastructure or the larger infrastructure that would provide the main service to the community. And the smaller, lighter red lines represent local servicing to the local streets in the area. In effect, what this option involves, if we just look at it from a sewer servicing perspective, in Area 2, we have a trunk gravity sewer running down the hill over here, and another trunk sewer running down the hill over here, with a pump, a sewage pump station located here. That would pump up the hill. There'd be gravity sewer within Area 1 that would gravitate down to a pump station here. All of the flow from both communities would be pumped up the hill to Wenlock Grove, where it would discharge into this green dotted line, which represents the existing wastewater collection system within the community. So it runs along Williams Lake Road down through this area along McIntosh Run to a pump station located at Roach's Pond. As part of the analysis that we'll flesh out when we look at this option in more detail, we'll be looking at, as David noted, we'll be looking at any capacity constraints within this system, just to ensure that that system can, in fact, accommodate the flows that might be generated within the community. And if, in fact, they can't, or it turns out they can't, we'll be looking at the cost implications of any upgrades that may be required to accommodate those flows. From a water servicing perspective, again, there'd be a trunk water line along Purcell's Cove Road with water distribution lines along the local streets. There is currently a water line here, an existing water line represented by that purple dotted line that runs along Purcell's Cove Road. In order to make the connection to the rest of the system, there would have to be another line extended and connected into the existing system on Williams Lake Road. So that's the first option we've looked at. The next option...
Sure. Quick question. Do these options take into account, you can see the grade development over on, the Governor's Brook, I believe it is.
In here.
Yeah, sorry. Are you considering the added usage from that when you look at capacity of the existing system?
We'll have to look at, yeah.
Yes,
we will. We'll have to look at existing flows that are going down through that system.
And do you have pipe sizes allocated at this time for your truck and your Chrysler?
I have some sizes that I've developed. Did I have a good sense of what those
are? So the main trunk line down here, what size?
The main trunk on Purcell's Cove Road? For this option, Halifax Water has a standard for minimum pipe size for a trunk sewer, and that's 10-inch diameter, 250 millimeters. And based on the flows that we've developed for the area, it would be that size.
Yeah. And the branch line?
The branch lines, we'll have to look at a little bit more closely. Again, the minimum requirement would be 10-inch.
Right.
But as part of the work we're going to do, there is some central servicing alternatives that we can look at. That would include, for example, within some of those smaller streets, small diameter pressure sewers.
Right.
And pumping systems that would... You know, you might get down to a 3-inch diameter line, but it would involve pumping.
Steve, where are these pumping stations, the two of them?
Your house.
It's close to your house.
That's why I'm asking.
First, you have to appreciate this is a concept plan, so the exact locations of those pumping stations would have to be refined as the process moved forward. If this project ever went forward, the exact locations of the pump stations would have to be refined through preliminary design and detailed design. But at the moment, the pump stations are we'll be showing them at the low spots in the street on Purcell's Cove Road. So one is near the Royal Yacht Squadron, and the other one is,
I think the name of the street is Keefe Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a low spot as well. So, any other questions on that one? Okay. This is option two, which is a little bit of a refinement of option, or an alternative to option one. With respect to water servicing, it's no different, but with respect to sewer servicing, rather than taking all the flow from the community and pumping from this pump station up through this area. I don't know why this keeps going off, Dave, but... rather than pumping it up through Williams Lake Road, it would pop up over the backlands down through here, connect into the existing system at Drysdale Lane, and then the flow through the trunk sewer along McIntosh Run, and eventually into the road, just pump pumping station. Again, similar to option one, we'd have to look at any capacity constraints within that green dotted line to see if there's any upgrade requirements and what those cost implications might be. Any questions on that one? No cries, just questions. Again, this is option three. So, it is in some respects, it's a bit similar to option two, which it's a different route that may present some advantages or perhaps disadvantages compared to option two. It would pump probably from this pump station, would be the main pump station, and would pump up through the backlands, down through here to the Roaches Pond pump station. A couple of variants of that option could be perhaps rather than going this route, perhaps extending the force main up through Ocean View Drive. And another variant, rather than going in this direction, to go straight across under McIntosh Run and tie into the existing trunk sewer again. And again, if that
that's
were to be...
The Paul Calder, if, that's the Paul Calder option, right?
If that option were to be considered, we'd have to look at again capacity constraints within that green section of existing piping.
Steve, can I ask you a question on each one of these scenarios you're showing? You know, piping, obviously. Are you suggesting that obviously pipes have to be buried, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Underground. So have you? You have looked at the topography through here, right?
We've looked at the topography, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The amount of granite and rock that goes in
there. Yeah, topography is different than geology, but we looked at both. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, okay. There's no doubt that there's a lot of rock up there.
okay.
But,
so those have
there's no doubt that any terrain through here is going to be difficult terrain.
Sure, I'm just saying, you know, a great big long straight line through the...
Mr. Naha's property.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the previous one went right through the only major water connection between Culpit Lake and William Lake, as if there was like nothing there.
Well, what we tried to do is, if you recall from not the previous, I think maybe it was our third meeting, might even our second meeting, when Gordon showed some of the no-go areas.
Yeah.
We tried to avoid those no-go areas as best we could.
Right. I'm not making any judgment on it at all. I'm just asking if that has informed all this. Yes,
and all those factors will be considered when we develop the pros and cons of each option, as well as the capital cost construction.
Right. Thanks.
Presumably, if you have the sewer line, there also has a road, right?
Well, not necessarily. You would probably need an access road for maintenance purposes. What form that road might take, it could be a gravel road. The Halifax Water to the side. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a paved major thoroughfare going through there.
But you're not going to bury a pipe and plant trees on top.
No, you have to have some means of access in order to maintain the infrastructure.
Okay.
Okay. Good with that?
Yeah, thank you.
This is option four, which is just a minor variation of the last one. It's just a different route that may perhaps offer some advantages relative to perhaps decreasing cost associated with pumping and perhaps associated with obtaining land easements and whatnot. The fifth option is Dave Note, was one that was identified in the RFP, which was to
go back for a second. With respect to all these options, when we're talking about water servicing, the option doesn't really change. It's still a connection out to Williams Lake Road. That's why when I've been talking about these different options, I've kind of brushed over the water servicing a bit, but it's similar to all six.
So just to be clear on that, with options 2, 3, and 4, you're still running a main water line along Brussels Cove Road all the way through.
Ultimately, I'm sure that would be, in order to service the community, as is here, that's all that would be required. But ultimately, I'd be pretty confident saying that Halifax Water would like to see a water main. If there's a route to run across the backlands, Halifax Water would like to see it.
Water,
alongside water run through there, as well. Okay. Because they prefer their systems to be looped,
sure.
And those provide the loop. So this particular option, again, as I noted, was identified in the RFP. It's, again, similar to option one, except rather than the pump station located here. Sorry. Rather than a pump station located here, there'd be a small a treatment plant that would discharge out to the arm.
Treatment?
You know, the location of that treatment plant. Again, this is a concept, so it might not necessarily fall in that location, but it is an option that we've been asked.
How do you like that one?
You think it's not bad? It is an option that we've been asked to look at, and when we evaluate it in more detail, again, the pros and cons, within the feasibility, there's issues associated with treatment plants in terms of regulatory approvals and Halifax Water preference. In terms of taking over a treatment plant and operating a treatment plant, so there's all kinds of things to be considered beyond cost associated with this particular option. And then the last one, again, was one that was identified in the RFP, and that's to send sewage across the arm or under the arm over to the existing collection system on the Halifax side. This is the Atlanta School of Theology over here, and as part of the Harvest Solutions project, there was a significant pumping station constructed at that location, to which under this option, sewage from Purcell's Cove would be directed to that pump station, and then it would head on into the Halifax system. And similar to option one again, there may be capacity constraints within that pumping station and downstream, which may limit the feasibility somewhat. So those are the six options we've developed to date. Again, as I noted, there may be more that flesh out as we proceed further down the road. But again, the purpose of today was to set the context for the next meeting, where we'll discuss these options in a lot more detail, and as well present our construction cost estimates.
And alternatives?
And alternatives, yeah. Alternatives for central service. Central service and alternatives. But for the most part, Dan, those would probably relate more so to the local roads. Any questions?
Do you have any questions?
I think all the jaws are still on the floor.
You referred to capacity issues with the scenario of it being pumped underneath the arm there, basically out of my office door there. You're referring to the capacity of the receiving end?
That's right.
Okay. Kidding.
That's the same as option one.
Right.
We're looking at going,
yeah, going the other way for the capacity issue, yeah, as well. Thank you.
So, thank you very much. We're looking forward to our next meeting.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
We have 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're running short on time. I think that was important, though, for Steve to lay that out for you guys. Now at least you have the heads up, so you can think about perhaps some of the questions that you're going to want to ask in the next meeting about these variety of the various scenarios, right? And as I mentioned, the development engineer of Halifax Water will be present as well, so she can add to the conversation as well. Speak in the next meeting. I've been proactive. This facility is available on Monday, February the 25th. And Mr. Chair, that's in relation to your information about your absence for a few weeks, and you appreciate being present.
Yes.
So I put that out there for the committee. Council motion just to step down to the washroom list and select. How's that date sound?
That's a, what did you say, that, the Monday?
Yeah, Monday, February the 25th.
I got to check our community council schedule because we have 2 a month now, but we'll know tomorrow.
Fair enough. Okay.
I suppose I could be my flag area, but I don't know how to do that.
Well, we'll tentatively shoot
the
for
rest
this.
Of
people are checking their calendars. We'll wait a minute. And I have something early. So that was our last. It's 8:51. Well, I did indicate on the agenda if the committee so chose that there be public participation.
Can I ask a question first?
Yeah.
There's a document here that was put in front of me that says energy
yes.
costs associated with urban sprawl by Adam Hayter.
Right. Sorry, Ben, and I mentioned that you'd be arriving a little bit late this evening when I mentioned that. So at the beginning of the meeting, that's a document that was submitted on behalf of the Our HRM Alliance. So Jen Powley asked to submit that. So that's been circulated for your information.
This is for the committee and supervision?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So just to wrap things up, then we'll tentatively say February the 25th, and that will be... I'll confirm that with everyone. And in the meantime, Council Mosier, we're just saying next meeting, Monday, February 25th. Council Adams indicated there may be a second community council meeting.
There's not.
We won't know.
Yeah.
We don't know until the 18th.
Okay.
We can check tomorrow.
Not right now.
Just tell them not to add on. You're the chair. You tell
me.
No. So there's a few vacations coming up from critical members. That's going to push us. They'll push us to answer your questions, Tanya. They'll push us in.
Oh, you can come here and I can go.
Late March.
Let's do the 25th and one of us.
Yeah,
well,
haven't
you
said
will,
that.
Because I have a chair.
We can choose a different location. I can scout out a different location. Because that's too late.
George, what are you doing? I'll be back 25th. Let's go to 25th and I get sent to Grant's
back.
Okay.
I'm
going next week. Okay.
Fair enough. Good, thank you. Okay, so that seems to be pretty good. So Monday. Okay, so Mr. Chair, that's it for what I have on the agenda. I'll leave that up to the committee's discretion considering the hour. We do have to, we have the facility until 9.
5 minutes. Ding dong.
There is a public participation on the agenda. We're tight on time. Alan,
I don't know whether David can leave that last map up.
Yep.
First, I want to congratulate the two people that reviewed the public meeting. You did a superb job, I think, of catching the tenor of that meeting. And I thought the presentation of the results of the questionnaire was very well done. I must say, you took a lot of information, compressed it very well. Comment number one I make is that, look, if you get, it was actually 50.5928% response. You get over 50%, you're doing incredibly well. I don't care who you are, that's a wonderful response. A toothpaste company or an election hearing political party is satisfied with about 10 to 15%. 50% is really wonderful. My last comment I would make is there are statistics and there's damn statistics And there's some really bloody good statistics, and I think that's what you have here. And I think you and your colleagues should be congratulated on drawing that together. On the options, while they don't fit most of the people who filled out the questionnaire, the last one that is up, you should be aware, both in within the city and within CBCL and Halifax Water. If there's any thought of pumping this amount of sanitary sewage across the arm, I suspect maybe the Pine Hill Station can get it up to the top of the hill. And by then, it crosses a railway tracks, it goes along Yonge Avenue, and it goes down Inglis Street to Peninsula Place. And at that point, it has to go into it's in a pressure line to get all the way down Barrington and eventually to the new sewage plant. That system is virtually overloaded right now. And unless there's going to be a wonderful program of getting storm sewage out of the sewers on the peninsula, I think you'll be told that you have to expand that pressure line and all the pumping stations along the way, all the way through to the Maritime Museum, and then at that point there's a very large tunnel that gets it to the sewage plant. The cost of that option, I think, is phenomenally high, and I'm guessing it's out of the way right away. I mean, my gut feeling is you shouldn't even think about that one. But nevertheless, it's there. As for the other options, I shouted out the Calda option. Paul Calda had a design of getting all that sewage, rather than sending it to Herring Cove, he was sending it straight across the backlands, and he was going to put it in a tunnel at some point and send it over to McNabb's Island. But those two options of the new cross the backland sewers, in fact, become major roads, become major access, and while they may not go through the no-go areas, they sure as hell open them up. Just to identify myself, I'm Alan Ruffman. I live right at that edge of Area 2 in Ferguson's Cove, but I own a property, which is just about where that red dot was, within one property of being in Area 2. So I have an interest in this, and I want to say that I have no interest in sewage treatment or water. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. And if there's no one else in particular, I'm sure each one of you would like to. Otherwise, I would move the meeting be adjourned. Thank you very much for your attention.